Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, we're in the heart of autumn now, so for most of us, it's back to earning a living. And hard to believe, but if you're like the average working person, you'll spend 9,000 hours on the job this year and 100,000 hours on the job over your lifetime. In a 2013 Washington Post survey, found Americans spend an average 8.9 hours on a weekday working or engaged in work-related activities, plus another 2 to 3 hours a day commuting. And that's pretty startling when the same study showed we spend less than 4 hours a day at leisure or spending time with the loved ones and family. And bottom line, to live a joyful, contented, and low-stress life, for God's sake, we better like what we do for a living. But here's the bad news, most of us don't. That same Washington Post study concluded that only 13% of survey respondents said they like their jobs. And a similar 2013 Gallup poll concluded that only 30% of American workers were engaged at work, while 70% of us were disengaged. In other words, most of us go to work every day, not because we want to, but simply for a paycheck. And I hope that your career is not on life support, because it is, folks. That's a crying shame. As we so often point out on this program, it is possible, especially at middle age, to have a good time while we earn a living, to come home from work each evening perhaps tired, but fully satisfied with what we accomplished and how we spent our time, better yet rested and enthused to go back to work next morning. And my guest today, Tammy Gilbert, tells us that far too many people suffer needlessly in jobs they don't admire. She contends, and I wholeheartedly agree, that life is too short to suffer every day in a job you hate. And she's here to offer tips on how to shake up your daily workday, the routine on the job, and the best ways to search for or find a better one. And Tammy Gilbert, this amazing lady, has a personal success story that can inspire us all. She was born in Nigeria, abandoned by her parents at the age of 8, brought to Chicago at age 15. In a new land, she was sent to live with a family member she barely knew. Often bullied as a child, her room in Chicago was a cold, dark, and foreboding basement. But she was determined to succeed, and she battled to get the education she would need. She grew up to become a registered nurse and went on to obtain both a master's degree in nursing and an MBA. She presently works in healthcare quality improvement, is a success coach, motivational speaker, and author, including her latest book that we'll discuss today, Career CPR, Meaningful Strategies to Resuscitate or Nurture Your Career. And hello, Tammy. It is indeed an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so impressed by individuals like you who start from such a humble beginning, refuse to give up, battle the odds, and become a success, and then, better yet, dedicate their lives to helping others overcome obstacles. Makes a lot of us, our mundane daily struggles, seem like small ones. But you overcame great odds in your life to become a success you are today. And in middle age, a lot of us are accepted with where frustrated with where we are in our lives and our careers. And if a listener came to you as a success coach, what would you advise them was the first step to success in their career?
Well, first of all, there's a reason, I guess, besides paycheck, there's a reason we apply for the job or we chose that job in the first place, yeah. And hopefully because we like it. And usually when people are dissatisfied or they are disengaged, there's a reason. Maybe they've been doing it for a few years and then they get bored. And if that's the case, there are many, many things to do to you know, to enhance, you know, the feeling of going to work every day, since we have to spend so many hours there, such as, you know, changing your routine. And also, the other thing is that when we invest in ourselves, some people, they start working and day in and out. But when you're working in a job and you stay on top of that industry, you invest in yourself, you take different courses to kind of keep you updated in that career. And what happens is then when you go to work, you share that with your coworkers, and you volunteer for projects that increase the company's bottom line. So and then, you know, you get in promotion and things like that. So it's hard to be bored and be disengaged when you are active participant in the workplace.
I think in your book you make it so clear, and it's so clear that the real first step to success is self-empowerment. If you don't believe in yourself and don't take responsibility for your own career, nobody else is going to handle
promotion. Exactly. We are the driver of our own career. We can wait for the company to offer career development. You know, it's nice when you find a company that do, but regardless, we are still responsible and we have to take ownership for our own career and our happiness.
Well, before we can thrive in our careers, we need to find a job, obviously. And in your first chapter, you give us tips on job search and interviewing. Let's say a listener is out of work and just beginning a job search. Where do you begin?
You know, there's so many websites that people can go on to search for a job.
Oh, I see.
Let me see. I mean, well, we start with networking. First of all, you know, networking is so important because, like you said, a lot of time we get a job probably not based on what we know, but who we know.
So,
networking, and then there's a lot of other websites out there that people can go to find out what's available out there.
Yeah, I got a great interview one time because my wife had talked to a gentleman at a gas station when she was pumping gas, and he happened to own a small company in the area that was looking for a new finance guy, but unfortunately, the job didn't materialize because they couldn't afford what I was making.
Right, then, what you were making.
But it was a great connection, and
right,
I enjoyed
right.
the interview. So, you know, you can network just about any place, not just in the normal places you would think to do so. But,
right, exactly.
I think the greatest is if you can find somebody that works for a company that you might be interested in and they can give you an introduction. I know that...
one of the other places people besides networking is also headhunters, of course, recruiters, and different job fairs, career fair that's going up. And then the other thing is alumni. Most of us, we don't keep up with, our old college alumni, but that's another way of finding a job.
No, that's true. A lot of colleges, of course, have placement services, and they can refer you perhaps to alumni. Even if you're not a new graduating senior, you can still go back to them and do your alumni.
And they still help. Right. And there's a newspaper, Craigslist, and online aggregators.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many places we can find.
Well, let's say you've cleared the first hurdle and been invited in for an interview. Any suggestions on how we should prepare for the interview, and what are some do's and don'ts while we're being interviewed?
Well, first of all, you have to be almost over-prepared.
Yeah, that's
Being over-prepared for the interview, and then it doesn't hurt to practice.
No.
Nowadays, there are free agency out there, a free career resource center in different city. That will help you practice your interview skill.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That's
And then, the typical and targeted interview questions, the person should kind of practice it, such as, why are you interested in the in that job, and why are you interested in that company? Because that job may be exist in different company, and then why are you interested in that position? So that's something that you should already be very familiar with.
Yeah, you can go to their company website, and you know, I would try to understand what the you know, the strengths, what the company brags about, what some of their biggest challenges might be, and then I could, you almost want to come in like you're an incumbent, but not a know-it-all, incumbent, but somebody that is well aware of the problems, and then you can relate your strengths to what they
exactly,
need.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it's always good to research that company once you get the interview, and not only study that company, is also wise to study their competitors.
Yeah,
also,
that's a good point.
So you, so you can talk about it during the interview.
What's wrong with their competitors?
Exactly. No. So you can point that out. They can say, "Oh yeah, we need her. We need her or him." Yeah.
Yeah. Well, during the interview, should you ask questions about compensation, benefits, and vacation?
No. You were asking me what are the don'ts. Of course, the number one is that do not ask about salary or benefit until you actually have the job offer.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, if they haven't made the job offer, don't mention salary.
I was interviewing a guy one time that started right away asking how much vacation he would get and all those kinds of questions. He also looked like a pretty lazy fellow.
You were like, no, not...
Well, let's say the interview's over and you think you've done well. How and how soon should you follow up so that you appear interested but not too pushy?
Well, right away, the protocol for interview following up is, of course, sending a thank you note within 24 to 48 hours.
I see.
Yeah. And then, of course, the thank you note should be very short and simple. Not too long. And then, you know, of course we don't do this anymore. They were saying a handwritten note is better than just sending an email.
I think most of us have forgotten how to write. Facebook and all the internet.
Right, I know. And then, of course, in the interview, I mean, on the thank you note, it's also wise to reiterate why you think you're the best one for that job. You know, why should they
and how enthused you are about joining the team and all that kind of stuff. But
exactly.
Well, let's turn to those individuals who presently have a job. What are some on-the-job habits that can wreck your career or at best sideline you for advancement, at worst lead to termination? What are some of those bad
habits?
Some
of the habits that can wreck your career? Well, some of them is, of course, being late all the time.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Being late and all calling in sick all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I know some people that call in twice a week, you know. Yeah, so those are, and then, of course, being complacent.
Yeah.
So sometimes
you start getting over-complacent, that's about the time when everything's going to go wrong, I think.
Exactly. And in my book, I call it motivation fatigue.
That's a good way you put it. But
it was good. Yeah, so being complacent in your career, that's a big habit that could wreck a career because you're not learning anything new.
Who can afford to do that in today's times, the way innovation proceeds and everything?
I know, exactly, exactly.
Well, how can a listener tell us, if you put it, their career is headed for a triple bypass? What are some reliable warning signs that you better do something?
Well, some of the warning signs, of course, you are disengaged.
Yeah.
And then you're disgruntled employee.
Yeah.
And let me see. Oh, and then you're not... you have discontinued professional investment in yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's
which you always invest in, And then all stop caring about the job.
Yeah, and there's so many people that just care about the paycheck. They don't really care whether their company is succeeding or not. You know, it's like we and them, and them is the bosses and the people
and
that
have
interest in the company. And I'm just a slave that's working
exactly. And as long when you have that attitude, I think the person is not too far from career triple bypass.
Yeah, well, what are some steps we can take to avoid hazards that can sidetrack or even wreck our career? I know you say take personal responsibility for development. That's one that we certainly should do. And, you know, we can't just depend on our seniority or our employer to take care of us.
Right, exactly. And then, believe it or not, it's sometimes too, people need to take time off, you know, time to...
That's a good point.
Rest, because sometimes we just work. We don't take vacation or we didn't take time off. But the thing is, when you do, you come back more productive, you can think more clear, and you can take more initiative because you have more energy. There's just a lot of things we could do.
Yeah, I was amazed in a newspaper recently. I read how many, like, some huge percentage of Americans don't even take their full vacation every year. Just
right.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly. You know? That's what I find. And, of course, some of them are afraid. Some of them are afraid that they're going to find out that they don't need them or... Yeah, they want to feel needed. And then some of them are afraid because when they're off, nobody's doing, there's no replacement. So when they come back, they have more work than, so.
And those kind of people should stick their hand in a cold glass of water and when they pull it out, see how much. No,
yeah.
That's a very interesting.
Yeah.
It's amazing that people think they're so essential that, and yet they're only hurting themselves as well.
Exactly.
One of the greatest hazards, workplace hazards and barrier to effective performance is poor communication. Can you give us a couple suggestions on how we can improve communication with the boss, with coworkers, and with those who work for us?
Well, of course, being a team player.
Yeah.
And, you know, when someone should have any kind of feedback for us, we should be open. We may not like it, but we should be open to them, and we should respect.
Yeah.
We should communicate with respect.
It's so easy to get, especially in a performance review, to get defensive rather than really listening to what your boss is telling you. And then, you know, be willing to ask for help. Well, how can I improve this, you know, that you just criticized me on? And
Right.
Another problem that so many of us have, we don't really wait to listen to what the other person is saying before we're already digging into our mind to come up with a reply.
Exactly. So we're not listening, right? That's what it is. We don't listen because we're so busy trying to prepare what we're going to say. And also, you know, and we all, I mean, I have to be careful myself. Like when people stop in your office to talk to you, we don't give them our undivided attention.
We're reading
the email or we're still doing something.
Oh,
and,
that is so rude.
Yeah, I know. So sometimes that could be. And then also answering your email. Your email. When people email you inquiring about something, and I try to get back to them as soon as possible because they may need, so that person may need that information for a project or whatever they're doing. So
to
be courteous,
Well, let's talk about communication with coworkers. Everyone knows you should never share your salary with a colleague, but are there some other topics or items of information that are best kept to ourselves?
Well, you know, at work, you know, some of us look at, for people at work for support, social support.
Yeah.
And some of us have a friend in the workplace.
Yeah.
And the one that you think are your best friend where you get together outside work time, maybe those are people you can trust to share certain things. But just to share in general, for example, I wouldn't share if my husband is an alcoholic, I wouldn't share that with just with any coworkers. And this is a true story.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, somebody came to work, you know, one of the water cooler. We were standing in the kitchen, and she's like, "Where am I? I went home yesterday and found my husband in his vomit, you know, from drunk, you know, being drunk." And I'm like, "This is not something you share just with anyone." Yeah,
you probably shouldn't tell the other coworkers if your boyfriend or girlfriend is mistreating you or
talk about
your recent divorce.
Exactly. Or that you still have a 50-year-old son that lives at home. You know.
No, I think it was interesting how you talk like being at work is almost like you're being on a stage and then everyone is kind of acting out and you have to be careful to know who your real friends are.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to know who you're. It's like you come and you act it. That's perform your part and be professional.
Well, let's talk about the positive. Let's say you like your present employer and want to stay, but lately you've been in kind of a rut. Can you offer some tips to shake up your daily routine and bring more challenge to the job you already have? How can you grow in that job? And
the best way to start is like start investing in yourself professionally in terms of, you know, if you're an accounting or administrative assistant, maybe take a refresher course or something like
that's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, so because once you kind of freshen up and you have all this knowledge, you're more motivated. And then the next thing, you know, ask your boss or ask around, is there a project that's going on that I can participate in a project? And
I think so few people just keep their nose to the grindstone doing exactly what they're assigned to do, and they don't really ask their boss for, like, broad assignments.
And then that's the way you build your visibility.
Yeah.
By being involved in a project, and you make yourself visible to people who make decisions. Because in the time of layoff or anything, believe me, people who remember how you did so well with the project, they're going to remember. They're going to say, you know what, let's keep her. Or if they don't even, if they're not in a position to hire you, they may be able to refer you to somebody else.
Yeah, you get to know people in other areas of the company.
Exactly. And being in a project with other people in the in your organization is going to expose you to other people. So when there's when there's another job opening, you can apply. Yeah. They already know how you work. So I think just being active, being engaged. And
you also know more about what's going on in the company
exactly.
as a whole, not just in your little accounting area or whatever.
Right. You in the know. Yeah. You in the know.
Well, please tell us why every one of us should make a 10-year plan of where we want to be in our career. I like that idea because I think so few people of us do that. They just, they say, I want to make more money or I want to get ahead.
Right, without a plan in place. Well, we all know that if you have a plan in place and you write it down, like in 10 years from now, like where do you want to be? So I'm sure there's a different thing you need to do because in 10 years from now, you can just say, okay, now this is where I want to be. So there's a certain things you need to put in place. Maybe you need to get more education, or maybe you need to get certain experience. You need to be in certain position to give you the experience that's going to qualify you for that.
That's so important. You don't just write down what your job objective is, you also make a plan of how you're going to get qualified for that.
Exactly,
exactly. That makes total sense to me.
Right, and when you write it down, of course, with a timeline, in 5 years, I should already have all my education that I need.
Yeah,
and
that's
in
such
7 years,
crucial ingredient. In 5 years, my objective is to be VP of such and such. It's all, what am I going to do between now and then to get there?
Exactly. And we know that when you have a plan, then at least you have something to keep you in line, something you can check yourself against.
How often do you think we should update that plan? Probably
once a year
or even more.
Yeah, every year. Yeah, every year we should update and then evaluate and assess.
Well, let's talk about your latest book, Career CPR, Meaningful Strategies to Resuscitate and Nurture Your Career. What was your motivation for writing the book?
Well, my motivation, two reasons. One, because I know a lot of people that, I mean, they're just miserable in their job.
Yeah. Yeah, and so many of us like that.
Right, yeah. I haven't met too many people who say, oh, I just love my job, I'm just enjoying it. And I just feel like you mentioned before, life is too short to be miserable in the job. And then the other reason I wrote it is because as a nurse, when I first became a nurse, I was working, and I would work hard, and then I was working hard and doing what I'm supposed to do and hoping that somebody would notice me and they would reward me. And how they reward me is by giving me promotion. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what's going on? And then when I think back to it, I was not engaged. I wasn't engaged with people.
Yeah,
I wasn't,
that's so crucial.
You know, socialized with people. I wasn't, so, and once I realized, not only do you have to work hard, but you also have to be engaged with people. You have to.
Yeah, so often the most skilled individual at doing a particular job is not the one that gets the promotion because they don't engage with higher management and with their co-workers.
Exactly, and that's what I found.
I guess if there was one note of inspiration you would like listeners to take away from your book, what would it be? I guess to be more engaged or...
Be more engaged and that we have the power to create the career that we want.
We
are in the driver's seat, and there's a lot of things that we can do to empower ourselves.
Where's the best place to go to preview and purchase your book?
They can go to, I'm available on Amazon.com.
Oh, I see.
And also TammyGilbert.com, and that's TAMI Gilbert, GILBERT.com.
Yeah, I noticed on that website you also have an Achieve Your Goals program. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that program is, you know, people can do things themselves, but with a coach, they can do it more quickly, more efficiently, and get there faster. And that's what that program is about. They will get one-to-one coaching. They will get online courses that help them, you know, with the plan and actions. And then workshop. So it's just a whole program that helps the person get to their goal more quickly and faster.
It's so worthwhile to invest in something like that, although most people don't want to spend the money, you know. But when you think about the returns that you get over your lifetime and your career, it's well worth it. I noticed you also offer a free one-on-one coaching session, a free 30-minute phone consultation. How do I sign up for that?
They can just go to TammyGilbert.com, T-A-M-I, Gilbert.com, and then they just click on that, and they can fill out the form.
Well, that would be a great way to test out and see, how you could benefit from Tammy's programs and her book, of course, and everything. To conclude, to me, there is nothing more unfortunate than a middle-aged person out of work or stuck working in a boring or stressful job with no real career goals, working for a paycheck and waiting for the weekend. No matter how stalled or rocky your career is today, only one factor can make all the difference. Do you believe in yourself 100%, and are you willing to take full personal responsibility for managing and developing your career going forward and having that plan, as Tammy describes, for the next 10 years of not only where you want to go, but how you're going to get there? And our guest today, Tammy Gilbert, is living proof that success in life can be accomplished against all odds, and few, if any, of us were abandoned by our parents at age 8, then had to be transported to a new country and raised in a basement by uncaring individuals. And Tammy wouldn't let hardship overcome her, and she's a huge success today. So what's your excuse and mine for not overcoming far lesser odds? And if you're frustrated in life or your career, even a bit apprehensive, I strongly recommend Tammy Gilbert's book, Career CPR. And thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us here today.
You are welcome, and thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
And best of success in getting that book in the hands of people who really could benefit from
it. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, those were most inspiring words of encouragement by my guest, author and success coach, Tammy Gilbert. And by now, are you 100% committed to take control and take control of your career going forward, of managing and developing it? Perhaps a radical career transition? Do you intend to change jobs, purchase a business, or launch a startup venture? Or at least, are you considering those? If so, may I offer you a suggestion? Like a commercial airline pilot, before taking off, why not go through a comprehensive pre-flight checklist? And here's a sample. Checklist item 1. Have you locked in a realistic target vocation? If you're currently employed, it's vitally important not to quit your present job until you evaluate every aspect of your target vocation and your qualifications to perform it. Are you experienced performing similar job functions? Can you demonstrate skills at performing them? Realistically, given your education and work history, will your resume attract potential employers? If you're buying an existing business or franchise or launching a new venture, are you fully prepared to be your own boss, including an uncertain revenue stream and long hours? Because believe me, any startup requires a lot of sweat equity. Here's checklist item 2. Have you arranged financing for your job search or startup and completed a family transition budget? Unless you can transition while remaining on a payroll of your existing employer, your job search or new venture launch involves significant financial risk. You need to face up to that in advance before you get hung out to dry. And do you have in place an interim financing plan that will allow you to pay the bills, fund transition costs if you need training or time off, and meet potential emergencies? Has your family gotten together and agreed upon certain discretionary expenses and luxury that each of you can temporarily eliminate or postpone? Is your spouse's income adequate to cover essential family expenses for the foreseeable future? Are family sources of cash flow more than adequate to finance an extended job search that could last months, even years? I once had a job search that lasted 14 months, and then I wasn't very satisfied with what I wound up with. If you're purchasing or launching a new business, have you anticipated and can you pay for a one-time launch cost like legal and accounting, employee recruiting, rental deposit, and betterment and furnishing of your store or office? And here's checklist item 3. Are you prepared to recruit investors, locate employees or venture partners, or market your skills to a new employer? Whether your goal is to buy an existing business, start up a new venture, launch a new career, or find a new job, you are about to embark upon a once-in-a-lifetime marketing campaign to promote a single product, you and your ideas. Are you prepared to sell yourself and your ideas to those who matter? And here's checklist item 4. Have you established realistic target dates and flexible work plans to accomplish each phase of your career transition? You know, setting a realistic timetable and keeping track of progress all along is perhaps the single most essential ingredient to success. Have you prepared a 6 to 12 month calendar with targeted completion dates for each essential phase of your transition project? At least every 2 weeks thereafter, will you record progress, keep your family appraised of what's going on, check off tasks completed, and reschedule any targets that you've missed? And here's checklist item 5. Have you lined up emotional support from your spouse, family, and from significant others? You know, it'll prove extremely difficult to sustain a positive job search and a positive attitude toward the future or a new venture momentum without active support and encouragement from those you love the most. And throughout the transition, promise to keep loved ones fully informed of progress and ask family and closest friends to monitor and critique your transition efforts. I mean positive, not just complaining. And here's checklist item 6. Have you resolved all pressing ancillary issues? Essential issues to address include the following. Can you extend present family health insurance from your former employer, or can you purchase affordable replacement coverage? Certainly a timely subject, given all the problems with Obamacare, isn't it? And how much of your current pension is accrued, and how much will you forfeit if you quit your job right now? And if you must move, will your spouse's career permit him or her to relocate right along with you? In most cases, probably not. But if she's a writer or something like that, maybe she or he would move right along. And if not, are there several potential attractive spousal career opportunities at probable potential new locations? Obviously, if you're going to move together, both of you need to be able to continue in your desired careers. And if transition requires sale of your home, is the local real estate market strong? How about the market in potential places where you might move to? And are you ready to face the hard work and long hours it will take you to get off to a good start in your new job or business venture? And finally, we have checklist item 7. Are you fully prepared mentally, physically, and emotionally for the next stage of your life and career? Before taking the plunge, you need to confirm to yourself beyond a reasonable doubt, as they say in the legal profession, that you're ready for life's next stage. Are you willing to give up the perks, obtain necessary training, work hard, and take substantial risk to change jobs or launch a new business venture? If retirement is your goal, are you really ready to retire? Can you still find purpose in your life? And will you have more than enough to keep you busy, engaged, and positive the rest of your days without a job to fall back on? Are you prepared fully for the potential rigors of extended job search? You know, it's not fun when you're rejected for that job you really thought you were going to get. And are you willing to work for less money if necessary in order to reduce stress, gain more job satisfaction, and enjoy life to the fullest? You know, having completed all 7 pre-launch checklists, you can then be confident that you're on the right path. Worst case, should a caution light come on, you may need to modify, scale back, or delay launch while resolutely refusing to abandon your dream. There's nothing wrong with postponement so long as you're seeking the same end result. And once all checklists flash on positive, you're free to abandon once and for all fear of failure. As the confident pilot solidly in control of your own destiny, that's your aircraft, you can take off for the productive, stress-free, and joy-filled lifetime and career destination you so richly deserve. Checklist completed, ready for flight. And to obtain your very own personal pre-flight checklist, which you can fill out at your leisure, and it goes into greater detail on what we've discussed here today, go to my website, middleagerenewal.com, and you can request your free Middle Age Renewal Training or MART mini course, and that course includes a section on the pre-flight checklist along with a number of other hot topics, and the cost is right, it's free. And while you're on our website, don't forget to preview my first book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. It's available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com as well as through our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And also, why not call me to arrange a free 30-minute personal coaching session where we can get together and see if I could be of help in your midlife transition. My phone number is 515-221-9902. And that's it for today. Tune in next week when our guest will talk all about getting unstuck and pivoting your career. And we'll talk to you then on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.